So we were talking about the Boss Baby series, and I told those who were unable to be on for that series that the series is available on Navi Christian Ministries website. And I will try to stop saying my mom hates when I say that, but when I'm thinking, the word just flows out. So I apologize. So we were talking about how some of these stories were relatable to our own lives in some ways and reminded us how blessed we are to not have been tested in some of those ways. The Bible has often been called the roadmap of life. I think that's where I was. And we are to learn from those past experiences and apply what we learned to our lives today. After revisiting these stories and listening to everyone's reviews, I felt a little unsettled. I remember asking Pastor Jackie, where's the healing in all of this? We were given tools to be able to discern when some of these tragic things are happening to us and to look for that Jezebel spirit and to look for that Jonas that might be in our life. But what do you do after the trauma? Right. So I decided to extend my last talk to you. We were talking about the heart the last time I came before you, and it's a time to talk about some of those unsettling matters that we still hold on to, those emotions that are deeply soaked in trauma, those experiences that cause us PTSD that makes our hearts sink. PTSD is something that it can take anything. It could take something as simple as a name, a song, a fragrance, and it takes you right back to where that pain was. You feel that pain all over again. That pain is in our hearts. That pain that makes your hearts, sink in. Those are the experiences that I call the matters of the heart. And so that's what our title is today. Let's see. So those Bible stories, which were enriched in traumatic experiences, hit a little different when you live through life, right? So I learned about these women in the Bible somewhere around the age of 13 in Sunday school and didn't really faze me too much. But then once I went through life's challenges, it feels a little different. You take a little bit more from each of those stories. And so as believers in Christ, we need to go back and review those things. So I thank Pastor Jackie for bringing back those stories we already know. We need to be refreshed in the word. So Navi has a very diverse community, but we have some testimonies that are almost as unbelievable as some of those stories in the Bible, which tells us that the devil is truly right here and now, and he's here to kill and destroy your life. The last time I spoke to you, it was about your heart. And at the end, I challenged you to examine what things you harbor in your heart and to query if those things are acceptable in God's sight. One major thing I found while revisiting those stories, those horrific events that happened to God's children, is that God didn't always jump in and intervene to prevent that experience from happening. He really didn't. And I think the reason that he didn't intervene to prevent those experiences from happening really was to just keep it real with you. He could have swooped in with a cape and a big letter G on his chest like Superman to stop the madness from happening. But no, instead, he allowed for a teachable moment. He waited for his children to seek his face. He allowed those stories to occur, like I said, to be real with you, because my God keeps it 100, right? Life is not all roses and butterflies and rainbows. They say that life is like a box of chocolate, right? You never know what you're going to get. And he allows some things to happen to or around you and then guide you to see that in the end, with your faith and trust and a pure heart, you can and will become part of his redemptive story. God interrupted stories of redemptions with stories with lives interrupted by trauma, and then some of them were never resolved for us, like the Levite and the concubine I was talking about. What really went on there? It was scary to me. We never really know was she dead or alive, but anyway, he reminds us to do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And so now I think I'm back on track, and we'll keep on from here. The challenge to my brothers and sisters who are online with me today is to be prepared for what life throws at you and seek God with a pure heart to restore your soul. So let's get back to the matters of the heart. And then later, my friend Lisa, who I'm glad is on today, will help me to help you talk about healing some of those matters. So picking up from where we left off the last time we spoke, we discussed a spiritual examination of the heart. And as you know, I'm in the medical field, so it's only fitting that I discuss some medical terms as it relates to the heart. This is the video that I was unable to show you guys when I was out in Atlanta. So I'll just take the time to play it and see if I can talk over it a little bit. The heart is an organ about the size of your fist, and it pumps blood through your body. It's made up of multiple layers of tissue. Your heart is at the center of your circulatory system. This system is a network of blood vessels, such as your arteries, your veins, your capillaries. It carries blood to and from all the areas of your body, and the blood carries oxygen and nutrients that your organs need to work properly. Blood carries carbon dioxide to your lungs, and that's when you breathe and out. And inside your heart valve, blood flowing in the right direction. The heart's electrical system controls the rate and the rhythm of your heartbeat. A healthy heart supplies your body with the right amount of blood at the rate needed to allow the human body to function as God created. The human heart is one of the most important organs God has placed in our body. Let's see if I can move on to the next slide. However, in the end, we need to examine what is our spiritual heart as it relates to pain and trauma, and we have to learn how to heal from it. I want to have a heart worthy of God's forgiveness and mercy, just like David. Now, I'm not going to go all into the whole story of David, but I mean, like, you know, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect like us. He tripped into sin every day, but he still received forgiveness from a God who loved him, and he was strengthened through his relationship with God. And David exemplified the character of one devoted to God. So that's what I mean when I want to be like him. The spiritual heart is revealed to us in the Bible in the very beginning. Now, if you're reading too fast, you might just miss it. It's in Genesis 1:26. The Bible tells us we've been made in the image and likeness of God. So if we were made in his likeness, then God must have a heart, not a physical human heart like we just watched, but a heart that can feel emotion. And I'm sure his heart breaks every day over our sins. The heart of man, the human heart, isn't, like I said, like God's heart. I mean, how could it? Can you imagine feeling everyone's sin, everyone's emotion all at once? The human heart is different from your spiritual heart, that it can hold evil. It can be filled with deceit and treachery. The human heart is so wicked and treacherous that we are easily deceived by it. Jesus said that from within, out of the men's heart, come evil thoughts. And that's Mark 7:21. Because the human heart is deceitful above all things, but it's God's heart that we are destined to follow. The spiritual heart's purpose depends on your moral condition. And so that's a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner who's looking beyond their faults and seeing their needs and requesting forgiveness for pure intentions. So what's in our heart depends on the things we allow to enter into it. These things are what form our thoughts, our feelings, our attitudes. When the wrong things enter our hearts, It can change everything. It can influence your whole state of being, your spirituality, and it can harm you physically. It can even change the way you talk and the way you walk. And so I have a couple examples. So for example, have you ever met a teenage boy who had a coolness about trucks or his pimp walk after that experience? You can see the thoughts of how he's going to get revenge outwardly on his face. His heart is hardened and has affected his whole swagger, right? Have you ever met a woman scorned? Of course we have. Or if you watch the Tyler Perry movie, you definitely have seen one. You know, the one who gets through a trauma of her husband cheating on her, and then all of a sudden she has an RBF or this mean mug, right? You can't even get that woman to smile. Her trauma has affected her very being, and you can see it on the outside. Anything that happens to us or something we witness that is unacceptable or out of our control and threatens our sense of safety or the safety of those that we love can be defined as a trauma. I always try to put myself in there too, so I'll give you another example. So I survived a trauma. Some of you know this, but I was more traumatized by those who wanted to have an opinion about the experience I went through or the way that I dealt with that trauma. I had to hear what I should have, could have, would have done by the very persons that I thought I was protecting or who should have protected me. It caused me to experience a new trauma. That one was more devastating to me than what I felt from the previous trauma. So, you know, this goes both ways. You don't have to be the person who experienced the trauma. Are you now, the listening ear, the perpetrator? Are you causing trauma in someone's life? Are you the one that always is opinionated, always has an opinion about something? And are you asking God for guidance when that person seeks you out for help? Are you looking into your heart and sharing the love? Or are you directing your own trauma into someone else? So think about it, you know, what's in your heart? I was traumatized by that listening ear so much so that I couldn't shed tears anymore. I was dried up. I can't really cry about things that were emotional to me. I started developing this nervous laugh, like a giggle, and they call that a pseudobulbar effect. It would happen anytime I felt uncomfortable or in pain. I created this wall, and some may say it was a mental breakdown. Others might say it's mental illness. You know, whatever it was, it affected my whole state of being, and it turned me into someone I didn't recognize. That's why I think it's important that we look inside and see how we can change these things. Trauma happens when a person is overwhelmed with fear, helplessness, or horror in the face of death. It affects their psychological, physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being, which I've said before. Trauma disrupts your lives, destroys hope, and perpetuates a cycle of violence. And it can even isolate you from others and even God. No matter what the circumstance is, if your heart is right with God, if you have an understanding of what a heart for God is or looks like, then you know you are eventually going to be okay. You may have some work to do, and that's what we're going to do a little bit later. You need the tools to know how to get there. And whatever it is, if you are a believer in God, you know you can give it to the Lord in prayer. But if those things behind your pain and trauma are causing hatred or vindictiveness, causing you to curse with every word that comes out of your mouth. If you have a mental hit list, Leah, who brought that out for us. If you have a mental hit list for people who have done you wrong or you're a fantasy, and you want to bring harm to those who have harmed you, and those feelings go unattended,
Tracy, we're losing you. Or are y'all losing me? Can you guys hear me? So nobody can hear me.
matters of the heart. I've said this time and time again to people because it really truly has external consequences or eternal consequences. And every time I have the discussion with someone about these things, like, look into your heart, what are you doing? Who are you in this, right? They always say, well, God knows my heart, right? Very lightly, and all I say is watch your mouth. When you say that, well, God knows my heart. I mean, it's so easy to say, but, you know, if he really truly knows your heart and you know what you're talking about, you might not say that. So let's take a look at this for a moment. The Bible talks a lot about the heart. The word heart occurs over 1,000 times in the Bible. But what is he really talking about? He's not talking about that physical heart. The Lord knows our hearts. When Jesus said, God knows your heart, he was speaking to the Pharisees. Now, these were men who lived double lives. They schemed hard to impress people so that they could appear godly and wise. But God knew their hearts. He saw through the petty fakeness, just like he could see through us. They were the ones, you know, the type, the ones that only give money or public service where they can be praised for doing so. The ones that show up at events where media will be present. They show up for 5 minutes and go on Facebook Live, look like they're saying something and they leave. Those are the ones that give the homeless, give to the homeless and then brag about it. But God knew that the Pharisees only had a heart for money, riches, and fame. They even bragged about saying their riches came from the Lord, and Jesus quickly dispelled that statement. He said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others just to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And this is what I mean by eternal consequences. And does that sound like you? I surely hope not. The Bible explains that the heart, the spiritual heart, is the center of emotional and moral activity. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at your heart, which is told to us in 1 Samuel 16:7. What the scripture is saying is looks can be deceiving. We tend to hang or gravitate towards people based on the way they look physically or what they have, like material things. The outward appearance doesn't reveal what or who people are. Physical looks don't show us the person's value, their integrity, or even their faithfulness to God. That outward quality is superficial. God looks at your heart. The heart is in the heart that's in this scripture or in this photo is a person's moral and spiritual life. Moral and spiritual intentions are what is most important to God. And I'm going to take a break. My mouth is really dry. So I'm just going to take a sip. I'm sorry. So if God knows your heart, then why are you far? God said that their hearts or loyalties besides him. While they may look and sound religious, these are the people to show up for church every Sunday faithfully, throw out a few scriptures here and there, and on Monday, they're right back to unholiness. You cannot have a Christian walk only on Sunday. These type of people do not love God, nor do they obey him. Is not you. If it is, we got some work to do. Their worship consists of searches all the hearts to reward all according to their conduct. In the time of judgment, God will expose The Hidden Counsels of the Heart. It is your spiritual condition that can cause you to have damnation. Is this your spiritual heart condition? As the mouth reveals what is in the heart, the ear determines what goes into it. The Father tells his Son to store up my commands within you by turning your ear to wisdom, and you will incline your heart to understanding. When Moses says the commandments are to be upon your heart, he commands those who are listening to remain conscious to them. The heart needs to be educated by filling it with the Lord's word. By filling your heart with God's word and living by his commandments, you will grow in God's favor and begin to be safeguarded against sin. So we need to look on cleaning up our spiritual hearts and dealing with those sinful natures. Once we have cleaned up our hearts, the inner treasures of righteousness will flow out and produce external holiness. So then you can see if that inner person is righteous. You will be able to see it because they will be living by example. The good treasure of the heart produces good. Our moral and spiritual character will automatically be exposed on the outside. Solomon wrote, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The spiritual state of your heart will determine how you relate to God and will have an impact on every one of us. God does know your heart, and he also knows your pain. He experienced those things through the life of Jesus Christ. After a traumatic experience, you need to take care of those wounds of your heart, those matters of your heart spiritually, so you can recover and be in favor with the Lord. To treat your wounded heart, you need to express that pain. That pain is like, for example, an abscess. You know how you get a boil or something and you baby it, and then you try to put heat on it and it hurts so much until you express it, right? So you pop out that pus. That's what the teaching is today. And Lisa will help you guys with some tools to be able to express that pain, but to give honor to God in the process. Jesus went through the same pains that we're facing every day, and he felt the things that you are feeling. And that's why the Bible says we can go to him with confidence. Whatever you are going through, whatever it is, or you went through, it might have caught you off guard, and it may have been totally unexpected, but it didn't take God by surprise. We know that he is aware of our struggle. He's not clueless, shocked, or dismayed by some of the things we do or some of the things we go through. That doesn't mean that he's not saddened for us. God is compassionate, and he cares about each and every one of you like any good father would. He doesn't like when we are hurting. Take comfort in the fact that God knows what you're feeling, and don't lose faith because he is in control. He is absolutely in control. God knows you're struggling, and more importantly, he knows what he is doing. We are not alone in our pain, and we cannot hide secrets from God because God knows all. So my challenge for you today is to turn to him in those times of darkness. Turn to him when you're feeling that trauma or pain. Turn to him when you are reliving those experiences. Usually at the end of service, we usually have Minister Snowden come and wrap everything up, but I found a great video that just wraps up what I have to say. I don't have much more because I want to give time for Lisa to bless us with her wisdom and to give you guys times to ask her questions. So I'm going to go ahead and play this.